Well, hello, everybody, and happy Easter to you. You know, I love lawyer shows on TV and in the movies, and I think I'm a wannabe trial lawyer. But one of the things you notice when you see these shows is an often repeated phrase. A lawyer will often say to someone, it doesn't matter what you know, it matters what you can prove. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about how has God proven to us that his plan of salvation in the Bible is the correct one, is the one that will really work. Well, the answer is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's why our title today is The Resurrection, the Confirmation of the Cross. The resurrection is the confirmation of what Jesus did on the cross as being true and efficacious and real. Now, are you ready? Let's study the Word of God, New King James Version of the Bible. And what do we study here in Lon Solomon Ministries? The Bible, say it with me, the whole Bible, nothing but the Bible. And then we apply to our life, and that's what we're going to do today. Now, folks, do you know that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is the subject of the longest chapter in the Bible about any given topic? And that is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is all about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and our coming resurrection because of what he did for us on the cross. So let's look, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where the Apostle Paul says, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Friends, this is the most slimmed down, bare bones gospel presentation that you'll ever get, because this is the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, is buried, and he was raised on the third day. That is the gospel. And I know a lot of people who put a lot of other things into the gospel. But folks, this is what Paul says, that this is the gospel. Verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which you've also received, and in which you stand, and by which you are saved. And then he says, for I delivered to you, this is the gospel I delivered to you, verse 3, that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and raised on the third day. That's the gospel. Now, would you notice that in the most bare and stripped down version of the gospel in the Bible, just the essential points that the resurrection is one of them? Is the virgin birth important? You betcha. Is fulfilled prophecy important? You betcha. Are the miracles of Jesus important? You betcha. But the core of the gospel, Christ died for our sins, was buried, and was raised on the third day. And if you look through the New Testament, you will find that everywhere the gospel is preached, particularly in the book of Acts, the resurrection is always mentioned, always presented. For example, in Peter's presentation of Christ in Acts chapter 2, verse 23, him, that is Christ, being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, and have crucified and put to death, verse 24, whom God raised up. Would you notice the gospel here? The end of verse 23. You crucified him, He died for our sins. You put him to death. He is buried. Verse 24, God raised him from the dead. There you go. That's the gospel. If you look over in Acts chapter 3, after Peter and John raise the man at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they begin preaching, he says to the Jewish people, Acts chapter 3, verse 13, you delivered up God's servant Jesus and denied him in the presence of Pilate. Verse 14, but you denied the Holy One and the Just One and asked for a murderer to be given to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead. Killed him, was buried and died and was dead, raised from the dead. And I could keep on going, but you check it out. Every sermon, every gospel presentation made in the book of Acts, the resurrection is part of it. Other things are in or out, but the resurrection is always in. To the people on Paul's first missionary journey in Pisidian Antioch, Acts chapter 13. To the philosophers on Mars Hill, Acts chapter 17. In front of King Agrippa II in Acts chapter 26. The resurrection is always there. As a matter of fact, if you go through the books of the New Testament, you will find that the resurrection is present in virtually every book of the New Testament. Now, it's not present in Philemon, because Paul's writing this letter to Philemon on a personal matter about Onesimus, a slave. But you might not necessarily expect it to be in that one. But let's look. Is the resurrection in the four Gospels? Yes. Is it in the book of Acts? Yes. Is it in the book of Romans? Yes. Is it in the book of 1 Corinthians? Yes. Is it in the book of 2 Corinthians? Yes. How about Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians? Yes. How about 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians? Yes. How about 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus? Yes. How about the book of Hebrews? Yes. How about 1 Peter and 2 Peter? Yes. How about 1 John? Yes. How about Titus? Yes. Either the resurrection itself as a doctrine or the resurrected Christ is mentioned in every single one of those books. Why? Because the resurrection is the central theme and keel on which the whole ship is built. You say, I thought the cross was the keel of the ship. Well, it is. But look at Romans chapter 1, verse 3. It says that the gospel is concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and who was declared. Horizo is the word. He was authenticated. He was proven to be the Son of God with power. How? How was he proven to be the Son of God? Look, according to the Spirit of holiness, how was he proven to be the Son of God? By the resurrection from the dead. My point is that Jesus dying on the cross purchased our salvation in the sight of a holy God. But God didn't leave it there, so that the gospel of Jesus is one among many supposed ways of getting to heaven. No, no. He authenticated to us that the gospel is the one true, real way to get eternal life and get to heaven and have our sins forgiven. And how did he authenticate it? How did he prove it? Doesn't matter what you know, matters what you can prove. How did he prove it? By the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. You know, I was just talking recently to a young man who had been fixing some things here in our house. And I'd given him the last time he was here. He's kind of our handyman person. And the last time he was here, I'd given him my testimony, a card that you can QR my testimony. And he said to me as he was leaving, he said, you know, I listened to your story. He said, and I found it very interesting. I said, hey, that's great. And so a little conversation ensued. And he said, you know, I was born and raised Catholic. And I said, that's okay. I was born and raised Jewish. And that doesn't matter. What matters is what you do with Christ. He said, I got that. He said, and I've kind of been looking around and trying to satisfy my head, you know, that some way is the right way to God. And he said, more recently, I've kind of come back to looking at Christianity. I've looked at Eastern religions. I've looked at Gnosticism. I've looked at ancient Egyptian religion. And he said, because I want my head to be, my intellect to be satisfied that I've investigated and I'm following the real way to God. I said, you know what? I understand. As you heard on my testimony, I went through the same process. I said, but my friend, dabbling around in all that stuff, he mentioned he was going to check out the occult. I said, my friend, dabbling around in all that stuff is not healthy. Satan has been deceiving people for 10,000 years. He's good at it. So you got to be careful. All of these things are almost right in many cases, but they're wrong just enough so you miss heaven. So I said to him, I said, how can you make sure in your mind that you're following the right way to God? I said, well, I want you to get in and read the Bible. And we talked about him beginning in Matthew and starting to read. But I said, here's how you can prove it and satisfy your brain that you're following the right way. Pretend that you were in a room, a round room, with 50 doors around the room. And pretend that on each door it said, this is the way to heaven. This is the way to eternal life. And in front of each of those doors, there was someone standing and pointing to that door and saying, this is it. This is it. And 49 of them are skeletons. And in front of one of them is a living, risen Lord Jesus Christ. Which door would you go through? You're going to go through a door with a skeleton pointing to it? Or are you going to go to the door with a real, live, risen from the dead Savior pointing to it? He said, I see your point. I said, my friend, there is no religion, no ism, no ology in the world that claims that its founder rose from the dead. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, not Joseph Smith, not any rabbi, and I could keep going. Not Confucius, not Lao Tzu. No, they're all dead. They're all skeletons in the grave. But Christianity claims to have a living, risen Savior from the dead to prove to us, to authenticate to us, to certify to us that he's telling us the truth and that his way of heaven, of going to heaven, his plan of salvation is the true and right and efficacious one. He said, I see your point. Friends, I hope you see my point. This is why God raised Jesus from the dead. Let me ask you a question. If God had left Jesus in the grave, would the plan of salvation have been effective for you and me if we trusted what Jesus did for us on the cross? I say, yes. Jesus didn't pay for our sins by rising from the dead. Jesus did not cover our sin with his blood by rising from the dead. Jesus did not open the way for God to forgive our sins by rising from the dead. No, he did all those things by dying on the cross. So, is his dying on the cross enough to pay for our sins in the sight of a holy God and get us to heaven? Yes, I believe. Yes. Then why did God raise him from the dead? Go to that trouble. Because he wanted to, Romans chapter 1, verse 4, declare to us, certify to us, prove to us authenticate to us that the cross is the right way. And Jesus' plan of salvation is the right way. And he raised Jesus from the dead to prove it. Now, that's as far as we want to go in our passages today, but we want to ask our most important question. It's Easter. What's our most important question? 1, 2, 3. So what? Yes. And friends, with a risen, living Savior, you know what we say, don't you? Yeah, we say, how sweet it is. How sweet it is, baby, to have a risen, living Savior, ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of God, coming again in glory, going to raise us up and give us glorified new bodies. Oh, praise God for the hope of the gospel, which is not a hope-so hope. It's a no-so hope. And how do I know so? Because Jesus rose from the dead. Now, if you're not convinced Jesus rose from the dead, I have a sermon that I have on my website, and you can find it there. It's called The Evidence for the Resurrection. The Evidence for the Resurrection. And I want you to go listen on SolomonMinistries.com. If you're not convinced the resurrection is true, go listen to that sermon, The Evidence for the Resurrection. And I'll bet you that'll help convince you. I'm just assuming today that the resurrection is true, because it is. Now, what difference does this make for your life and my life? Well, it's very simple. What do I want you to take home today? It's very simple. I can trust the Bible to tell me the truth. I can trust the Bible to tell me the truth. I can trust Jesus's plan of salvation in the Bible to get me to heaven, to forgive my sins in the sight of a holy God, and to give me eternal life. I can trust the plan of salvation that the Bible tells us about to get me to heaven, give me eternal life, forgiveness of sins. That's what I want you to go home with today. Peter says it really well. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For, Peter says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have not followed cunningly devised fables. Now, that's the King James language, but I love it, because look at these three words. Number one, we've not followed fables. A fable is a story that's not true. A fable is a myth. Peter says we have not followed some myth or some story that's been devised, there's our second word, been devised by people, made up by people, intentionally created by people, cunningly so, there's our third word, to deceive us, to manipulate us, to confuse us, to mislead us away from the true source of forgiveness of sins in heaven. Cunningly devised, made up by men, fables. Peter says, we have not followed them. That is not what the gospel is. It is the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. And if a lawyer were to say, yeah, well, it doesn't matter what I think is true, it matters what I can prove. Great. I agree. You can prove that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, he was buried. You can trust that that is the true way to get to heaven because, and he was raised from the dead on the third day. We're the only approach to God in the universe that is confirmed and authenticated by our leader, our founder, not just dying, they all did that, but by God raising him from dead. After preaching in Acts chapter 2 and telling the Jewish people about the resurrection, here is the conclusion. Therefore, Peter says, therefore, let all the house, verse 36, of Israel know, assuredly, that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Messiah, Christ. Therefore, assuredly, you can know that God has not chosen Joseph Smith. He has not chosen Muhammad. He has not chosen any other founder, Mary Baker, Eddy, William Taze, Russell, you name it, Confucius, Buddha. He's not chosen any other one of these people, but he's chosen Jesus to be Lord and Messiah and the founder of the true plan of salvation. That's my message today. It's not complicated. Why would God want to make it complicated? God wants this to be so simple and so understandable that a child can do it, right? Yeah. I was talking to one of my neighbors who, this gentleman's Jewish, and I've been hoping to share the gospel with him for 25 years. For the first 20 of them, he wouldn't speak to me because I'm the ultimate traitor to a Jewish person, a Jew who just doesn't believe in Christ, but he's trying to convince other Jewish people to believe in the Lord Jesus. But finally, we've been able to strike up a little bit of a conversational friendship. And I was talking to him the other day, and he said, and I'd given him a little tract about the Lord Jesus being the Messiah. And I said, hey, what'd you think of that little booklet I gave you? He said, I read it. I said, what'd you think? He said, nah. I said, what do you mean, nah? He said, it's too simple, Lon. It's too simplistic. Can't be that simple. I said, what do you mean? Why can't it be that simple? He said, I don't know. The world's not simple. The world's very complicated. Nothing as monumental as going to heaven and having your sins forgiven can be that simple. And I said, my friend, why would God want to make it hard? He wants it so that a little two-year-old or three-year-old can understand it and appropriate it. Why would he want to make it hard? Why would he want to make it convoluted? Folks, listen. As one preacher said, don't be educated beyond your intelligence. Yeah, we get so educated that we say things like, oh, it can't be that simple. Of course it can. There's no law that says getting to heaven needs to be convoluted and complicated? No. It's simple because remember what Jesus said. Let the little children come to me. Unless you come with childlike faith, you won't get into the kingdom of heaven. Children can appropriate this. It's very simple, very easy. So please, if you've not done this, do it right now with me and take your trust off of everything else you've placed it in to get you to heaven and forgive your sins. You're being a good person. You're keeping the Ten Commandments. You're going to church. You're saying the rosary. You're being confirmed. You're being bar mitzvahed. Whatever. None of those are going to work. Trusting what Jesus did for you and me on the cross, shedding his blood to pay for our sin. What did God say? Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And what was the Passover? When I see the blood covering you, God said, I'll pass over you in judgment. And when he sees the blood of Christ covering us, when we trust what Jesus did on the cross, God says, I'll pass over you in judgment. It's just that simple. So if you've never done that, here's your chance. Pray with me. Let's bow our heads. I'm going to pray a very short prayer. And I just want you to pray right along with me, one phrase at a time. Here we go. Lord Jesus, I come to you this day because I want eternal life and my sins forgiven and to go to heaven when I leave here. And so I take my trust off of everything else I've ever relied on, and I place it on the work of the cross. You're dying to pay for my sin in the sight of a holy God. I place my trust 100% plus nothing in your work on the cross for me to get me to heaven, to get my sins forgiven, to give me eternal life. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and life and be my Lord and Savior. Savior from hell. Savior from eternal death. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, if you prayed that prayer with me, I am so proud of you. It takes courage to do that. Yes. And what I want you to do now is go to my website, LonSolomonMinistries.com, and I want you to listen to my series, Spiritual Bootcamp. You go to the sermons on the pull-down menu, go down a couple of iterations, and you'll see it, Spiritual Bootcamp. It's exactly what it says. It's boot camp for a brand new Christian. And I would even recommend you listen to it 2 or 3 times or once a year to refresh your memory. Now, if you did not pray that prayer with me, but you thought about it, you know what I want you to do? I want you to go to my website and I want you to listen to Spiritual Bootcamp, because I think by the time you finish, you may just be ready and willing to ask Christ into your heart and trust what he did on the cross for you. Either way, if you're not absolutely certain that you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, Spiritual Bootcamp's for you. And for those of us who already know the Lord, hey, how wonderful is it to know that we have not followed cleverly devised fables? But we have followed the true and living Savior, who has offered us the true and living plan to God and the true and living way to have our sins forgiven and the true and living way to go to heaven. Praise the Lord. How sweet it is. May God bless you. Happy Easter.